the Science Show on RN, where we now turn to brains. Yes, bird brains are impressive, and so it seems are mouse brains. But where do they keep their memories? David Glanzman was on the Science Show a couple of years ago, claiming that old memories aren't in circuits but elsewhere. He's at UCLA.
Yes, that's exactly right. So I think that short-term memories are stored at synapses. However, when it comes to long-term memories, I believe that the memory is stored in the nucleus, possibly as an epigenetic change, or, for example, it may be changes in the actual structure of the DNA, but in any case, some nuclear code. And then in order to read out the memory, however, you would need a synapse. So when it comes to long-term memory, the synapses are there to express the memory, but they're not the storage mechanism. That's the distinction between this idea and the standard model of memory.
And you did this work on not a mammal, but yes, another sort of creature. How could you tell from this sort of experimentation that it had to be something from the nucleus and not in a synapse and a nerve?
This animal is a Plesia californica, which is a marine snail that one finds here in the coastal waters of Southern California. And the way we train this animal is we induce a kind of painful stimulus, and we give them a series of spaced electrical shocks delivered to their tail. And as a consequence of that training, they become hyper-reflexive. So if you touch them anywhere on their skin after they've had the electrical shocks, they will contract. And the contraction would be longer and stronger than it would be if they hadn't had the electrical shocks. And you can produce this sensitization of contraction that will persist for several days. So that's the long-term memory that we worked with, and it's a very simple form of memory. And to show that the memory couldn't be synaptic, we trained the snails, and then we dissected out their nervous systems, and from the nervous systems, we extracted the RNA. We purified the RNA, and then we took that RNA, and we injected it into the hemolymph, which is the invertebrate blood of untrained snails. And then when we tested the reflexiveness of the snails that received the injection of RNA from the trained animals, they behaved like they'd been given electrical shocks, even though they hadn't. As a control, we took RNA from snails that had not been given the shock training. We injected that RNA into naive snails, and they did not show the hyperreflexiveness. So it's very difficult to imagine how you can explain this memory transfer in terms of synapses, because we didn't inject synapses into them. And so there must be something in the RNA that was sufficient to induce this long-term memory. And we did another test that implicated a type of change in the nucleus called an epigenetic change. And so this is a change in the structure of the chromatin that is what chromosomes are made out of. And this type of change is called DNA methylation. And if you methylate the DNA that's part of a gene, the DNA is effectively silent. So even though you can have the gene, it won't be expressed. And so we took snails, we trained them, took out their RNA, and as before, we injected it into untrained snails. But immediately after that, we also injected a so-called DNA methylation inhibitor. And when we did that, the transfer of memory was blocked. So this implied that by blocking the silencing of some gene, we were able to block the memory transfer. So that implicates a nuclear change in the memory transfer.
Would you care to do that in a mouse next week?
Well, actually, we are. We're trying to do that in rats right now with my colleague Michael Fanslow here at UCLA.
How are you getting on?
Well, we're just reaching the point where we're going to do the injections in a couple weeks. So we're getting there, but I don't have anything for you right now.
Is there something that's particularly tricky about doing it with a mammal, doing it with a creature with a big brain?
No, it's very straightforward. The training's very similar. The rats are going to receive electrical shocks, and then later we're going to see if that facilitates fear conditioning in the rats. We'll have to see how this works out. I mean, it'll be very exciting if we can get it in a mammal, and I think it will open up a whole bunch of avenues of investigation. And it'll be very satisfying to me if we can get it in a mammal, because then I don't have to listen to people say, well, how do you know it's not just in a snail? You know, snails aren't real animals. They don't have brains. So that'll be nice.
I'm reminded of various things that have been puzzling about the human memory, and that is various people who may not have spoken for years and who are cut off, and suddenly you stimulate them with something like music, and next thing you know, they're singing along, they've got the words right. Somewhere buried in their memory has been something as complex as that.
If my idea is right, then the memory, even if the synapses were gone, and you might think that that's why you're having trouble remembering something, the memory might be there locked away in the nucleus of the neurons. So one of the things that happens early on in Alzheimer's disease is there's significant synaptic loss in the hippocampus and other parts of the temporal lobe, and this is very disruptive for memory. However, the neurons, at least for several years, are still alive in many cases. So the cell bodies are still there, even though the synapses that connect the neurons have been destroyed by the disease. And so the fantasy is that if we were able to identify the species of RNA that are involved in inducing these long-term memories, that we could treat early Alzheimer's, at least Alzheimer's in the early stage, with RNA. And the idea would be that would reactivate the memories, and perhaps that would form new synapses, but they would be appropriate synapses, and that's the key, and that the memory would come back. And so that's the idea, that as long as neurons are still alive and intact, that one would be able to retrieve the memory.
David Glanzman is a professor of biology at the University of California, Los Angeles. And there's the promise.